Phil Hendry here as we continue covering the disappearance of Kenny Slagg. I am told that this is pretty serious. I need to take the call. Colin Porkeby is one of the principals in the Kenny Slagg story. Mr. Porkeby contributed $5,000 to the Kenny Slagg effort. I don't want to call it a ministry. The Kenny Slagg organization, Principles of Abundance in the 21st Century. All right, I'm getting waved to. Bud, what have you got?
We got Mr. Porkeby. It's pretty serious.
And Colin, go ahead. It's Phil Hendry.
Right, Kenny Slagg, for want of a better way of putting this, Phil, Kenny Slagg is dead.
He is dead.
He is dead. He was found by Dr. Elcott in a motel north of the Big Sur Redeemery for Elcott the Next Step, a place called Orange Beach, which is between Carmel and Big Sur, California. He was found dead by Dr. Elcott himself.
Is Dr. Elcott available for comment?
He is not. I might understand that he's a little bit distraught given the fact that Mr. Slagg was most recently on his premises, was partaking of the Elcott Redeemery hospitality.
Do we know a cause of death?
As far as we've been able to tell right now, the police have on the scene, and this will be, of course, ascertained officially. But Dr. Elcott told me, and I will tell you, that he felt it was suicide.
Kenny Slagg's committed suicide. That's not official.
That is not official, no. But what tipped off Dr. Elcott was that Mr. Slagg was naked, was hanging from a fashioned noose of some kind.
Jesus. All right, so we don't have any official word from the authorities on this as a suicide. Do we know that he's decidedly passed on? Is there anything official there?
Yeah, the Orange Beach, the constable at Orange Beach, preliminary investigation indicates that he's dead, and they feel it's suicide, but naturally they have to go to the coroner's office.
And how did you find out about it?
I was contacted by Dr. Elcott, who summoned me up to this motel here, an Orange Beach motel, and I met him in the parking lot, and I was not allowed into the room, and he said that Kenny Slagg was deceased, and that he felt it was most likely a suicide, but the police had been called, and
well, I got to tell you, that's I don't know, given the events of the last couple of weeks, I guess I shouldn't be surprised. I mean, Mr. Slagg was a big part of our show for a long time, although he had fallen on some hard times, and it's too bad to hear that he was resorted to the kind of larceny that he did with you.
Well, I'm out $5,000, and I don't want to trivialize the tragedy for all concerned when it comes to what appears to be the death of Kenny Slagg. Certainly we know that he's passed on, but it could very well be the suicide. I've not been allowed to see the body, and I don't think that I even really, quote, need to see the body, except for the fact that, I'm owed $5,000, and, I suppose we should expect everything.
Do you think he faked his death to just get out of paying you $5,000?
It's something that I think I would be foolish not to take it into consideration.
But realistically, do you think that's what that could happen?
Realistically, of course. That's why I'm not really going to take my foot off the gas, as you might put it, Mr. Henry. I'm going to continue to press on this issue. When I get the official word that Kenny Slagg is dead, then certainly that's the way it seems, according to Dr. Elcott, then obviously I would have to address the matter with the Kenny Slagg organization itself, the business itself, about recouping my loss. I'm sorry that Mr. Slagg took this way out, but it's not going to relieve him or his organization of the $5,000 that they tricked out of me by saying they could make my penis bigger.
Can I ask you something, Mr. Porkeby? Do you feel a little stupid
Why would I feel stupid?
That you gave a guy $5,000 and believed that he would make your penis 2 inches bigger?
Look, this is not about me. This is about whether or not I feel foolish or I look foolish. I think I did a stupid thing. This guy, Slag, took my money and said, by sunup, your penis will be 2 inches longer. And I sat there like a dummy. And that's all I have to say about that. And I want to say this. Because I am a man with a heart, and because I do have compassion, I am expressing my heartfelt sympathies to Mr. Slag's family and to his business associates on this, what appears to be, Kenny Slag taking the easy way, the cheap way out, and committing suicide.
So he doesn't have to pay your $5,000.
You sound like a guy that... It's interesting. You sound like you're mourning Kenny Slag. You were mocking him right along with me a couple of weeks ago, Mr. Hendry.
I'm not saying that you don't deserve the $5,000, sir. I'm not saying that you shouldn't get the money back, but it doesn't look like you're going to, and this is a horribly tragic ending to that man's life, no matter how ridiculous he lived it.
Well, this is a guy that promised people the world, wound up going to jail for 8 months because he was committing, quote, crimes against nature, then tells me he'll make my penis bigger for $5,000, and then he doesn't come through, and then the guy commits suicide. Then the guy commits suicide. So you can say all you want about Colin Porkerby, but the man who took the coward's way out as of today is Kenny Slag. Colin Porkerby reporting.
Well, are you leaving? Did you hang up? You hung up. Colin Porkerby reporting from Orange Beach, California, that Kenny Slag has taken his own life. And this, of course, awaits an official determination by the coroner there. But this is what Dr. Ed Elcott expressed to Mr. Porkerby, and what Dr. Elcott himself saw when he was summoned to the motel by Mr. Slag, only to find him deceased. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Ms. Bozell, you had a person working for you at your construction firm whose home has unfortunately burned.
Yes, sir, but the problem we had when we came out with our memo, which said let's get our priorities straight, we have an awful lot of people who work for our construction company, and they have been, inconvenienced, but we want people to get their minds back on their business.
Do you think the news of the California fires, Southern California fires, have people are distracted?
I think they're distracted. The fire is taking up an awful lot of time and energy. People are ignoring their jobs, to watch television. We feel sorry for the fire victims, which is fine. But everyone's feeling bad for the fire victims. But let's remember there are others who could use a little smile. At our office, I sent a memo which, after something happened recently and said, let's get our priorities straight.
Well, what happened?
Well, what happened was I have this, one of the gals that works in our human resources department, she is a great worker. She lives up in the Santa Clarita Valley, and this past weekend they lost their home. It got caught up.
Oh, my God.
Well, okay, can I continue?
Yeah, go ahead.
She lost her home. It got caught in the...
Can you hear me, Mr. Bozell?
Yes, sir, I can.
Okay.
She lost her home in the Simi fire, and we do feel terrible for her. But here's what I noticed is when she come back to work, she was not the least bit shy about letting people know about it, that her life, this and her life that, and her, she, me, everything's about her, and she's crying, and it began to interfere with her work. And I was forced to confront her. I said to Carol, I need for you to quit feeling sorry for yourself. I think a lot of employers ought to tell people this, whether you lose your home in a hurricane, whether you lose your home in a fire, whether you lose your home in a tornado, quit feeling sorry for yourself, because I can assure you that in California today, and maybe in other states, I'll tell you right now, there's about 6,000 Mexicans out there that would love to have that job. And that's what I told her.
That's a little. I mean, we're talking about a fire. I don't want to judge you. You're an employer. It's a little harsh.
Well, you say it's harsh. Let me tell you. For the preceding week, I've been carrying myself into my office with a cast on my ankle and foot. I broke my ankle and a bone in my foot last weekend.
What happened?
It was hot. We showed the kids. We had one of these water slide, water wiggle deals in the garage, and my foot come down in a gopher hole out in our backyard. So I come in a cast and crutches. And here's the part that I can't understand. I get maybe two or three questions about my leg, and then she comes in here, and people are all around her desk giving her hugs. People brought her food, some covered dishes. Okay? Cliff Pettigrew.
All right, so the lady whose home burned down was getting quite a bit of attention. You broke your leg, and you weren't getting any attention?
Well, if I could finish, it's not about me. It's kind of curious, though, how people are using this fire, or they use hurricanes, or they use tornadoes, or they use floods to get all kinds of sympathy, to get mercy, from people, okay? And I broke my leg, and I'm sitting here thinking, I employ these people, and yet they hate me so much, they don't care anything about my leg. And yet her home burns down and everything, but what about me and what about, I got a cast and everything.
All right. Do you consider your employees hate you? I mean, here's what we're facing. We're facing a fire that has made international news. A woman lost her home, and I understand this gal that works in your office, she lost two dogs?
She had two Weimaraners, two hunting dogs, yes, sir.
She lost two beautiful animals.
But okay, all right. I've heard everything that you've said, but let me repeat it. I broke my leg. I was playing with my kids. I'm in pain. I'm taking Advil. Everyone can see I have a cast on unit. Everybody's talking to her because her house burned down, and no one's talking to me. And I had as much, I've had about as much as I think as a man can take. And I told her if I see any more of her crying or people bringing her covered dishes. There's about 6,000 Mexicans out here that would love her job.
And well, you're bringing up 6,000 Mexicans. What are you talking about?
I'm just saying there's a lot of unemployed people out in the state of California.
And are you telling this woman not to be crying on the job?
I am.
See, I don't mean to tell you what to do. If you lose your home in a fire, you lose your dogs, the lady lost all of her possessions, she's coming into work, she was crying, and she's being consoled by her coworkers. Isn't that a natural rhythm to things?
Well, okay, how come no one has come over to me and said, I've had two or three questions about my broken leg, and that's it? See, this is what I'm saying. It wouldn't be so bad were it not for the fact that I've had maybe two or three people, and then she gets to cry, and she gets to, and everybody feels sorry for her, and we got, a state loaded up with Mexicans who'd love her job.
Okay, I want to ask you if you wouldn't mind. I don't know why the Mexican thing keeps coming up.
No, it's the unemployment thing.
All right, well, then let's just say unemployed, because it sounds as if there's a racial pitch to what you're saying. I know you don't want to say that.
No, sir, I'm just saying, how come she gets to cry, and everybody cares about her, and no one cares about me?
All right, the problem is she lost her home in a fire. It is a huge story, but I can't know for sure. Nobody has given you any consolation. And so, as a result, you threaten this woman with firing?
No, Phil, you're making...
Well, I mean, that's what it sounds like. Let me just give our phone number, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. If you lose your home or your home is damaged in a fire, a flood, in a hurricane, in a tornado, and people are giving you a lot of sympathy at work, is it a little too much? Should you be a sympathy hog? And Mr. Bozell, you're saying that it wouldn't be so bad were they not paying it if they were paying a little attention to you.
Because of the fact I've suffered actual physical hurt. She lost two dogs. Everything she lost is not even her. It's to her. It's a building which is not attached to her. Okay, I mean, even she hasn't asked me how my ankle feels. She hasn't asked me because she loves to have everybody coming up to her and kissing up her butt about how she lost her house. I think she's playing the victim a little too much. And boy, oh boy, these people lose their homes. I had an aunt who lost her home in a hurricane in South Carolina. It's about 4 years ago. She lost a big portion of her home to a hurricane. And she's crying and complaining. And I finally, I got on the phone with her. I said, God, I said, I used the Lord's name in vain. And I said, God, I'm so sick and tired of listening to you complain and complain and complain. You got more money than J.C. himself. I know that my father left you with a lot of money, you know. And she lost some valuable art and, you know.
All right, well, but I mean, it was a lifetime home, wasn't it?
It was a family home, yeah.
I mean, that's something that money can't replace. Yeah, you can rebuild it. But if it's a home that stood the test of time for decades, if not maybe even a century, you see what I'm saying?
Okay, Mr. Henry, you're proving my point right now.
How?
Because you're taking her side, and nobody wants to talk about what happened to me.
All right, I understand that.
I mean, I broke my leg. I run that company. Let's remember that. I run the company. I'm the one that cuts the checks. I'm the one who... And I broke my leg, and I have to take Advil. I got to go back in for x-rays. And all she lost was her house and the stupid fire and two stupid dogs and some stupid pictures and everything else is stupid.
Sir, I understand that you are angry and you're feeling hurt.
Right now, my leg throbs. Right now, it's throbbing. It throbs at night. I can feel it. It hurts really bad. And I told her, if she wants to blubber and cry, see, all I'm saying to everybody out there who loses their home, or I know it's bad, but man, why don't you keep your blubbering at home? Because when you come to the job, I want an A1 job out of you, because there's about 10,000 Mexicans, like I was saying, who can take your job.
Okay, well, all right, so in other words, there's a lot of unemployed people who could take the job.
Yes, sir. You bet.
Stephen Bozell, owner of B&B Construction.
And by the way, she's in perfect health, this lady who lost her house. I'm the one that's in pain. I even have to clutch my right foot, and that feels so odd because it hurts.
All right, our number is 1-800-449-8686. Mr. Bozell, you've threatened this lady with you're going to fire her if she keeps crying on the job about the home she lost in the fire, but you won't fire her if people will pay a little bit more attention to you and your broken leg?
Well, I realize it sounds childish.
Sir, to be honest with you, it does.
But okay, if it does, it does. But I told her that if people will pay a little more attention to me, and if she'll quit, you know, being a glory hog about how she lost her dogs and everything got messed up, and maybe some people pay attention to me, then I can reevaluate her job position. But right now, she's getting all the glory because she's a glory hog, and all I'm getting is nobody's even cared about me.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. This man is the owner of B&B Construction. Are we talking about a guy here who is upset that he's not getting any attention, or is he upset that the woman is getting too much attention because her home burned down in one of the fires? And no matter what the disaster, whether it's a hurricane, a tornado, or whatever, he said he feels it inappropriate when people are crowding around you at your desk and giving you sympathy because you lost your house. Nobody's talking to him about his broken leg. So we'll get further into this. By the way, the lady is named Carol Hunning, and she is she works, I think, in the human resources department at B&B Construction. She did lose her home in the Santa Clarita Valley to the fires last weekend. She lost two prize-winning hunting dogs. They're Weimaraners. She's also lost a lot of valuables, and this was documented on television news. She came to work Monday morning, which I think she should have got credit for, but apparently was receiving too much sympathy from coworkers, and Mr. Bozell has threatened to fire her if she keeps crying on the job. 1-800-449-8686. These are the stories coming out of California these days with this wildfire. We'll be right back. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. On the peripheral edge of reality. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
This lady, Carol Hunting, that works for you, Mr. Bozell, her home burned down this past weekend. People have been bringing her casseroles.
That's my understanding, yeah.
Well, you say that's your understanding. Didn't you take one from her?
Again, you have to get your facts straight. I went to her and I said, Carol, you were getting an awful lot of sympathy because your house burned down. I broke my leg. That's physical pain. You, however, get a lot of sympathy. So I said to her that I did want to take at this time one of her casseroles, which I did eat and I had for lunch because no one has offered me anything. Now, you may ask yourself, well, what's the big thing and why can't I be a bigger man? We have a situation here where we're getting treated all wrong. It's all wrong. How come she gets all this sympathy when only a house burned down and I broke my leg and I don't get any? What I'm trying to do is show my employees that my physical pain is equals what she's been through, and no one should be singled out. And so I did have, at that time, her casserole, which I believe was a tuna. I think it was a tuna casserole. But I at this time, I do not recall.
All right, 1-800-4, you took her casserole from her.
It was not hers. It was given to her by...
it was given to her by another employee. All right. 1-800-449-8686. Pat, go ahead.
This is a joke, right? This has got to be a joke. This guy is not serious.
Mr. Bozo, are you joking with us, sir? Because I was looking at my producer.
Well, if you think a broken leg in two places is a joke, if you think a home burned to the ground is a joke, I don't find it.
I'm talking about the fact that you're being so insensitive to a woman whose house burned down.
Ma'am, why am I supposed to be insensitive to a woman who only lost a house? I lost the use of my leg.
You broke your leg.
Yes,
it's
ma'am.
It's not a big deal. These things happen to people every day.
Does her husband also have prostate cancer?
See, you bring that up as if that's her problem. Okay?
Well, it's her husband. He has prostate cancer.
She doesn't have prostate cancer. Okay?
You have a broken leg. What is so big? What's the big deal in that?
I have physical pain. I'm taking pain medications. I've taken two kinds of pain medication and everything.
And she lost her home and
okay.
all of her belongings.
All right, so why can't everybody just be equal and come over to my desk and say, how are you doing, Steve? And then go over to her desk. She gets to cry and everything.
Because if your attitude towards your employees is anything like the attitude that you're displaying on the radio, they wouldn't come and talk to you.
Ma'am,
you said that they hated you, which I think is a strong term. They probably do dislike you. Because you're insensitive.
Why? I'm insensitive. There's 6,000 Mexicans running around out there that could take her job. Okay?
And
I asked you not to use that.
Probably take yours.
I don't think so. I own the company.
Yeah, I understand that. I said they should probably. You're insensitive.
Take mine. How could a Mexican take my job?
Can we get off the Mexican thing, sir? Because I don't like it. It makes it seem like we're talking in racial terms here. This doesn't have anything to do with race, does it?
No, sir.
Then let's forget about 6,000 Mexicans could take somebody's job. Look, her husband has prostate cancer. That man can't work, can he?
He could if he wanted to, but he's milking the system like they all do.
Who's they? Who's
all
they
of them. All you know, these people, when they get to a certain age, they get their penis
you
doesn't
people.
Work or something.
Who's you people? What does that mean?
A lot of you elderly people who milk the system. That's all I'm saying.
All right. Pat, thank you for your call. Here is Kristen. Kristen, go ahead.
I am shocked at the things you are saying. I cannot believe you would treat your employees like this. I'm in management.
Did you hear what I said?
Yes. I am in management, and I do not go to work expecting my employees to support me and to offer
me
comfort.
So therefore you're better than me. Is that what you're saying? Why don't you just come out and say it?
I'm saying you need to step back and take a look at yourself. You are saying that you are tired of her playing the victim when in reality you want to play the victim.
I haven't gotten any casserole dishes. Nobody's come over to me to say, nobody gave me no puppies. She lost two dogs and they brought her puppies, which okay, I understand that. I haven't gotten a get well card or anything.
Listen.
What I'm trying to say is, why doesn't she just get off her pity pot and quit trying to play the victim and let's everybody get back to work?
You sound like you are 2 years old. You are
what
standing
are you
there,
about?
You're stomping your feet and crying because you didn't get a casserole. And then you took her casserole.
Okay, so now
this is a problem.
This is a problem.
I will
you
tell you
right
now. You
did take the woman's casserole that she got, didn't you?
I said to her at this time I needed to take the casserole, yes, because she was... So what are you saying?
I am saying that if my employees have a problem, I support them.
It's not about you.
Because I value them, and I think you need to take some basic management 101 skills. and work.
I have run this company for 8 years, ma'am. I founded this company. Not once have I been given a damn thing. And now, when I'm deeply injured,
when you know what, you know what, when you're at, listen to me.
Proven to be selfish, and I got 6,000 Mexicans beating down the door. And I'm sorry, Mr. Henry, if you don't like me saying that, but
I don't like you saying that.
You know, that's not the point. When you're at the top, you don't expect the people below you to support you and to give you the things you need. You need to get them elsewhere in your life.
You know,
not at work.
You know what's funny about what you just said, Kristen? You know, you say when you're below somebody, you shouldn't have to support them. My wife climbs on top of me at night, and I still got to do all the work. True? And the same thing...
Well, you're speaking with a lady, sir.
Forgive me.
I mean, you're not talking around a campfire with a bunch of army guys, okay? This is a lady, all right?
Hey, listen, you know what?
I'm sorry.
You know what? I was in the army, and people don't talk to me like that.
Yeah, let's remember that
there
we're, you know...
I apologize to the lady. I'm very sorry.
Where is your level of professionalism and your pride in being the top dog? You should be there saying, you know what? I'm sorry this happened to you. You don't need people to come up to you and serve you dinner because you broke your leg. My goodness, you should be getting that from your friends and family at home, not the people that you employ. Think about it.
Oh, okay. Well, thanks a lot, Private Benjamin. Jesus. I was trying to tell you about...
Well, look it. Let's stop the personal attacks and stay on the subject, Steve, because the way you articulated it to me at the beginning sounded almost reasonable. You said, I'd like everybody to get back to work and quit concentrating on this fire.
I do.
But then you turned it around to make it about you not getting any sympathy and this lady getting all kinds of good stuff.
That is so true. I will tell you right now, as a manager, productivity and numbers, they say a lot. And if this was about productivity, I could empathize with you.
I put my leg up on her desk, and she asked me to sign her, and I asked her to sign my cast, okay? And she started to cry about her dogs. Why didn't she sign my cast, at least?
I'm in shock. You still aren't getting
the
point.
You're in a shock.
Hold on for a minute. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. The soul of America. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Stephen Bozell, who's one of his co-workers, lost her home in the Santa Clarita area from the fire last weekend. He's on the line with us. Your basic point is you're getting tired of hearing people pitying themselves about losing their homes, and let's get back to work, right?
Let's get back to work. Let's quit crying about it. I'm talking to people not just, like I say, I'm not just talking to the people who lost homes in the fire, but all you people out there who cry about floods and you know you're crying about your house in a hurricane. We did some construction work down in the Miami area after Hurricane Andrew, and they just cried and cried and cried about their houses down there. It made me just, I mean, I felt bad for them for about 2 days, and then after that I wanted to slap some of them, to be honest with you. So just otherwise I'm going to be tempted to slap this woman. I really am. I'm getting sick and tired.
You realize that we're very fresh from this trauma of homes burned to the ground, that this is such a new thing for so many people.
I understand that. But let's move on, because what she's doing is she's pushing a lot of my buttons now, and she's belly aching about her dogs, and she's belly aching about her house, and she's crying about her husband with cancer, and I've never hit a woman in my life. But that's the kind of woman that's begging for it. She's just asking to be slapped right across the face. Just, you know, you just want to say, shut up. And look at this. See this? This is called a cast. It's on my leg. It hurts, so shut up.
You want to hit a woman? All right.
Well, look, I'm not trying to say I want to hit a woman.
Well, I mean, I tell you something. You slap my wife.
Well, I wouldn't slap your wife. I wouldn't slap any woman, Mr. Henry. We don't need to go there. I'm just saying. She's asking for it. I heard her going... And then my dog died, and I could hear the dogs howling in the kennel, and we couldn't do anything about it, and they burned alive. And I'm thinking to myself, man, boy, she's asking for it. You know.
All right, hold on. 1-800-449-8686. Go to Ben. Ben, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
I've been in the business for 25 years, and I've never experienced that sensitiveness to an employee. He just doesn't.
You're talking about me?
You can't compare the losing of the home, the disruption of the family unit with broken legs. She doesn't have a place to go home tonight to cook dinner and put her legs up and talk to her husband and pet her dog. She doesn't have that. And to compare that to the broken leg is just terribly insensitive. I live in eastern North Carolina. I've been through hurricanes. I've seen what those people go through. And evidently he doesn't. He still doesn't get it. He's supposed to be the employer. The employer should be more concerned about the welfare of his employees and their families than about his own broken leg.
What about that, Steve? That's a very good point, Steve. What about that?
Well, I understand what the gentleman's saying, but I want to ask you something, sir. 2 days ago, I just wanted to test my theory because I think these people are doing it on purpose. So I fell down in the lunchroom on purpose to see if anybody would come over to help me up. Guess what? Nobody come over. What does that tell you?
That tells me you're a jerk, is what it tells me.
Now, I don't want to
attack you personally, but what it tells me is that probably before she lost her house, everybody was waiting on you. They were bringing you coffee. They were bringing you papers because you couldn't get around. Now you're no longer the center of attention, and you can't display the leadership that your company needs right now to overcome this great tragedy. And they need that more than anything else. They don't need your belly aching. They need your show of concern.
My belly aching. All she's done is cry about it. She's just asking for it.
You should let her cry about it. For God's sake, she lost her house. You should let her cry about it. You're crying about your broken leg to the whole nation right now. And you should let her cry about it. You should put her arm around her and say it's going to get better instead of threatening to fire.
Why don't you have a fundraiser for the lady in the office? Why don't you have some people can bring clothes? People can...
So make it even worse for me. So instead of sticking my head into the oven, that's not bad enough. You guys want me to turn it up to broil.
What?
You need to help this woman. You don't need to beat on her.
Okay, sir, I can tell you this.
And that's your job as an employer. You need to be helping. He's doing exactly what the host just said. She doesn't have any clothes. What's she going to wear tomorrow?
Okay, but she's had four covered dishes given to her, a box of clothes. They brought the two puppies, a lot of hugs, and now the staff want me to give her a check from the company to get her started.
Doesn't that tell you something? Your whole staff is helping this lady and you're refusing to?
And you don't want to because your leg hurts.
Well, I think as an employer, it's my responsibility to tell my employees, and I know you don't like me to say it, Mr. Andrew, but the 6,000...
I know Mexicans out there that could take somebody's... God!
Well, I don't think those 6,000 Mexicans would work for you if they heard this program. Because I'm impressed that lady had her house burned down 2 days ago.
Very good
point. And she shows up for work. I'm impressed with that. And the fact that you're not sitting there giving her a hug and saying things are going to get better.
Right.
This is our employee family.
Yeah.
We're going to work through this process together.
You guys are trying to make me out to be a jackass, okay? First of all,
You're doing that to yourself.
I didn't do it. They've got great cots in the shelter where she's sleeping. They've got
shelter. That's where she's sleeping, in a shelter, huh?
Why don't you take your broken leg and go sleep in that shelter one night and see how well you like it? That'll bring you to tears too if that broken leg hurts that bad.
Are you trying to?
I've been in these shelters. I know what these people go through when we have hurricanes.
Yeah, she's got her kids with her, and she's got the food. You know,
they've got everything there. They've got McDonald's hamburgers and everything.
Oh, swell. What I want to do is lay down in bed next to 8,000 people in a gymnasium some night. That sounds really great.
That's your point exactly, buddy. You need to realize what you're saying. You should be asking her over to your house.
Ask her over to my house?
For dinner.
What do you want me to have?
Your employee.
Should I have sex with her, too, as long as she's there? God dang.
Don't go there, buddy. What a moron. You're supposed to be the leader of your company. You're the head of your company. Can't you display better leadership than that?
All right, Ben, thank you. Very good point.
Thank you.
1-800.
Thank you. Very good point.
Oh, okay. So this is the child that you are.
Mr. Henry, not one time in the conversation.
I care about your busted leg about as much as I care about your busted leg. This is a bigger story. Houses are burning down. People are displaced. Shelters all over. This is the worst disaster ever to hit the state of California.
I had to stick a hanger down the side of my cast because it itched. No one helped.
Oh, really? You really did? You really had to put a hanger down your cast because it itched, huh? See how stupid you sound?
No, sir, I do not.
Let's go over to Rocky. Rocky, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Stephen Bozell. Hello. Rocky, yeah. Rocky, go ahead. Turn your radio yeah. down. Turn your radio down.
All right, sorry. Here, let me turn it down.
Right.
I'm sorry about that. Well, I wanted to say, I own a computer business in Wichita, Kansas, and I've injured myself more than once on ladder, whatever, et cetera. My kids tripped me, whatever. And I've injured myself, but nothing can compare to losing someone's home and everything they've worked for. There's nothing you can just pop and replace it. I'm sorry.
Can I ask you a question? Can I ask you a question? What about what if your leg was severed off? What if the leg was
severed off?
Yes, sir.
You know, I've had family members that have had strokes, and that severely injured them for the rest of their life, and they have not complained once about it because they are real men. I grew up in the country, and I brought that with me to my business. But I understand if you lose your farm, if you lose your family, if you lose everything that you have worked hard for, that is your life getting burned up. Do you understand what it means to lose your life?
But you're trying to tell me that you don't think a man getting like his leg severed off is as bad, and I think you're wrong.
No, because you're a man.
You didn't get your leg severed off.
All right, can we talk straight?
What?
What if you had your manhood severed off?
Well, it doesn't matter. You're a man.
Oh,
that's what matters. If you're a man, you will stand up, take the pain like a man, and handle it like a man.
Okay.
You will not ask for sympathy like some little
What about the fact that
woman.
She has insurance? She'll get her house back. I don't have insurance on my leg. If I get gangrene, okay, thanks a lot.
Well, I mean, how much would it take for you to get insurance?
You're an employer. Don't you self-insure?
I have not done that this year, no.
Well, that's stupid
that was
as hell.
Dumb idiot.
You got to self-insure. You insure your employees, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Well, what the hell is that about? You insure your employees. You got no insurance.
Look, I promised my daughter April Jr. that I would escort her to her first school dance, and now I can't dance with my baby daughter because I've been crippled up. Crippled up while the other fathers are dancing.
Good God. Woo! I live with back pain every day because I am disabled. But I still run my business. I still handle my affairs like a real man.
Wait a minute. Are you on disability?
I've got two.
Are you
on disability? No, I am not on disability. I own myself a nice business that makes me well over $500,000 a year doing computers. I don't need to be on disability, and I do have family members that are on it, but they're on it for a good reason.
You know, if you quit your job, there's a bunch of Mexicans that'll take
Will you get off that Mexican thing once and
Mexican,
for all?
I am not working a job, sir. I own my own business. I don't think you heard that.
Rocky, very good, and congratulations on the success of your business, and thank you for lending some sense to this conversation.
Thank you.
Jesus, do you stick your nose right up the crack of the...
Yeah, well, I'm trying to figure out here exactly...
You know, my daughter is going to be going to her dance, Mr. Henry.
I understand that.
My baby girl. I always want to see my baby girl dance at her first freshman dance. And now her daddy can't dance with her. I can't take my baby girl out onto the dance floor because I'm all crippled up. Just like that. It's a hell of a thing to face man's life when you're all crippled up, can't take your baby girl out on the dance floor there at the gymnasium. I can hear the song right now. Oops, I did it again.
I understand, sir.
Then they'll go over for some drinks, cocktails, or what have you.
At a freshman dance?
Well, you know, Cokes and everything. All I wanted to do is just on my baby girl's first dance, take her out on the dance floor and hear the song, Lady in Red is Dancing with Me. I'll never be able to hear it.
You putting me on?
What did the hat say to the man?
Are you putting me on?
Right.
That's funny. Yeah, man. Lady in Red. Hey, Steve, seriously, man.
You know, Mr. Henry, you've been making fun of me for a solid hour.
Well, what do you mean, Lady in Red?
I want to take my baby girl out onto the dance floor for the first time in her life. You know, it's one thing you see a little girl. She's all pigtails and ribbons and all that. She grows up to become a young lady. And then they have the father-daughter dance over at the high school like they always have every year. And I wanted to go over there and dance with her. And dance to that song that we all know so well, the song that we all love. And I got to sit there like a cripple, all crippled up. And I can't get out there and dance to, I just want to fly. Put your arms around me, baby. Put your arms around me.
All right. 1-800-449-8686.
My Sharona.